Praise God indeed. Let's go ahead and get ready for church. What a wonderful day the Lord's given us. Hope everyone's doing well this week. I just want to call, want to thank the Lord for his many, many blessings. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayers. We open up our services. People are getting settled in. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer? Anyone in the congregation got a spoken prayer? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I always just let him protect us on our trip.
Gail, Sister Connie, Brother Chris, Sister Hucks is better. She had a little tumble, but she's doing better.
You haven't unspoken, just show by the raising of and our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you this evening. We thank you, dear Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your love for us, dear Lord. We just want to give you all the honor and glory, dear Lord, in everything that we do and everything we are. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord. We ask you just to come into this service, dear Lord. Let us just receive what you have for us tonight. Lord, on each and every prayer request, we're placing them into your mighty hands. Lord, we know that you're greater than anything that comes against us, dear Lord, and we just want to give you all the honor. Lord, as we pray for each and individual prayer request, dear Lord, those that are sick and shut in, those that aren't able to be with us tonight for whatever reason, Lord, we pray for those that are watching online. Lord, may you just continue to bless each and every one of us, dear Lord. We just want to worship you, dear Lord, and honor you and all that's done. Dear Lord, now as we prepare to have our service, dear Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor, strengthen him and his family, each and every ministry that goes forth from our services, from this congregation. Lord, you've blessed us so much, and dear Lord, we just want to just give you all the honor. And dear Lord, in just Jesus' name, and we all said, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. I know I do this quite regularly, but it is great. I just want to give God all the glory for answering prayers. Turn to page 120, Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came. Gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory! My Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
In the mirror I knew him,
and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory.
My love is to him. He
Take up the evening offering. What a wonderful time we had this. We'll get ready. What a wonderful time we had this last weekend as we honored our pastor, Pastor Appreciation. And like said, we want him to know it's always we appreciate him for us. Any other
praise the Lord. They say there'll be no tears in heaven, but I cannot understand. For the things that make us cry won't be found in that land. There'll be peace and rest in the joy. If your mind is filled with doubt, your life turned and tossed about, just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. He'll relieve your mind of doubt and save your soul from Satan's trap. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. If you have a need today, just cry, Jesus. And the angels are on their way. Just cry, Jesus, till the bells of glory sound. Just cry, Jesus, and all heaven will surely come down. If you feel your guilt and shame, for a world you tried to gain, just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. He'll take all your shame away and show to you a better way. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. Surely come down.
I'm going to sing As Small As I Am. This song's been on my heart today. I think sometimes, I know I do, I get down and feel, unworthy of anyone's love, much less the Lord's love. And it just doesn't matter. He loves us no matter what. Even as small as we are, as insignificant as we feel, He still loves us. And I'm just so thankful.
Lord in heaven above, why'd you pick me to love? Why you love me, I can't understand. There are others more worthy of Jesus than me. Yeah, you love me as small as small as I am.
about you. All as we are. In fact, if he's aware of every sparrow that falls to the ground, he's certainly aware of us and our needs and our situation. And across the song, just flipping a while ago, this is a song that I used to sing a long, long time ago. I'm not sure I still remember. It's on page 218, if y'all want to sing along with me. Maybe y'all can remember it better than I can. It says, I don't want to get adjusted. I don't want to get adjusted to the things that are down here, because everything down here I'm going to leave behind. Amen. How many is thankful for that, that everything we ever going to have need of is already being prepared for us by our Lord and Savior? In this world we have our troubles, sometimes lonesome, sometimes blue. But the hope of life eternal brightens all our hopes in view. I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this old world. I got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Lord, I'm growing worn and weary. There's no place that seems like home. Jesus came, come my soul to ferry, where I never more shall roam. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this old world. I got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. I am longing for the coming of my Savior, Lord and King. Seems I hear my loved ones singing a new song I'd like to sing. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this old world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Amen to that. Don't want to get praise the Lord. Amen. How many has been blessed this week? Good to see Brother Don and Sister Michelle with us. Glad to have y'all here tonight. Amen. Appreciate you coming out on a rainy night in Georgia. Amen. But it's good and dry in here. But let's don't keep it dry from the Spirit. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of St. Matthew. We're going to rehearse and go over a passage of Scripture that most of the time is read around the time of the Resurrection Day. The things that led up to Christ being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I was reading that this week and just being blessed by it. And I hope and pray that as we read it again tonight, that we'll receive something that the Lord has in store for us. Thank you for standing. We're going to the 26th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, and we will begin in verse number 36. Again, St. Matthew, chapter number 26, beginning with verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your word, God, for your anointing, for the presence of the Holy Ghost tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you would just help us, Lord, to clear our minds of all the distractions, Lord, and focus on you and you alone tonight. Father, I pray that you would just feed us that heavenly manna. God, just reach down, Lord, with your spirit and touch and anoint each and every soul here. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the miracles and the blessings that you've already bestowed upon us. But Father, I also reach out to you on behalf of those who are still sick and afflicted and praying, God, that you would touch them, heal them, strengthen them, and anoint them. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you'll just anoint these lips of clay, God, and bless this servant, God, to speak that you would have us to hear. We'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more hand clap for Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know what? We can't praise him enough. I'm going to enjoy praising him for an eternity. But here I want to be found praising him as well. Tonight, for just a little while, I want to talk about a message entitled, Wake Up and Pray. Wake up and pray. It's a wonderful story here. First of all, I want to kind of familiarize us with the Garden of Gethsemane. As a small boy in church, when anyone, any pastor or preacher would begin to preach and mention the Garden of Gethsemane, by the way, which was a place that Jesus constantly resorted to, not just prior to his crucifixion, but many times when he would need consolation and need to be alone, he would slip away to the Garden of Gethsemane, begin to pray, and begin to just kind of dwell on the goodness and the mercy of God. And it was a place of solace and a place of, refreshing and just a place that he could feel the presence of God as he went into the garden. And I often thought that it probably was a garden very similar to what you might see at what I would call either Callaway Gardens or one of the gardens that is so kept so well. But history doesn't describe the Garden of Gethsemane in that manner. In fact, historians tell us that basically because it was found on the Mount of Olives, it was quite possibly an orchard for olive trees. And in Jerusalem today, just east of Jerusalem, there is a grove of olive trees that some date back to the time of Christ, so it very well possibly could have been the place that was Gethsemane. But I said that to say this, it wasn't just a place of beauty, it was more of a place, and I found out that the name Gethsemane means an oil press. An oil press. So it was a working garden. It was a garden where the fruit of the olive trees were harvested and they were put into this oil press. And you know the story, they squeezed and beat the pulp out of the olives and that became the pure oil that came forth. And I thought how symbolic that it was that Jesus chose the Garden of Gethsemane, an oil press, for his final prayer before he was apprehended and arrested and then later on taken and crucified. Very symbolic of his body being beaten, his body, the blood flowing from his body as with every stripe that was laid upon his back. Finally, as they drove the nails and the spikes in his hands and his feet and thrust him up into the hole that was already pre-dug where the cross fell down and probably tore his flesh and in a beaten state, in a terrible state, that pureness came in the form of, after he died and resurrected, in the form of the Holy Ghost that he said he would send back as a comforter. So here we find that Jesus in himself is preparing for his destiny. Now the disciples here have been given all kinds of maybe hints or preludes to what Jesus' destiny was about. Many times as he taught, he would refer to the Son of Man must go away and They heard that, but they didn't hear that, if you know what I mean. I don't think it really registered on them until the night of the Passover, when he gathered his disciples together, and they ate the Passover meal that night. And as they began to eat the Passover, which in fact would be the last Passover that Christ would be able to celebrate with the disciples, he began to tell them that one of them would betray him. And in fact, it was revealed that it would be the one who dipped it in the bowl with him, and that was Judas. And Judas was excused to go and do that he had planned to do. But here then, after the Passover service, and even though the disciples did not realize that Jesus was resurrected, or that his death and burial was soon in the future, I believe that they probably could notice there was something different about this Passover. Maybe the mood that Jesus was in, maybe it was a little bit more solemn, maybe it was just a little bit more compassionate, maybe just a little bit more feeling than those prior to. But the Bible says that after the Passover, and after it was revealed that Judas would betray him, they sang a hymn. They sang a hymn, and then they dismissed themselves from the room there, the upper room that had been designated for the Passover. And then they made their way. Jesus said, we're going to pray now. We're going to pray. And there's some different feelings here, whether it was all the disciples who went to the Garden of Gethsemane or whether it was just a few. But the Bible does tell us that there were three disciples that went into the garden with Jesus. And that was Peter, the sons of Zebedee, which is James and John. These, I don't think they were any closer to Christ, but these were the ones that were more often mentioned around Christ than maybe some of the others. So Jesus tells them that he's going to pray. And he wants them to stay and tarry here, and there's something he tells them to do. I want you to watch with me. Not watch for me, or not watch me, but watch with me. You see, Jesus knew that there was a band getting ready now to come and even apprehend him in the garden. The disciples had no idea that that's what it was. But Jesus had a simple request to ask the disciples to do that. He didn't ask them to do a whole lot of things. Just stay here and watch with me. And he said, I'm going to go yonder and pray. He said, after he went a little farther, he prayed. And then he came back, and they were kind of drowsy, you know, when he tells them, he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, or stay here, and watch with me. And then he went a little further, and that's when he began to fall on his face, and he began to pray. Now, you got to understand that Matthew here, or the writer here, is just giving us basically an abbreviated account of what happened. I don't believe it was a 15-minute prayer. In fact, I believe, according to the Bible, that Jesus prayed an agonizing prayer. In one place it says, even though his blood became, or his sweat became as great drops of blood, as he agonized in the garden, trying to get his flesh under subjection. How many know the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? Even Jesus says that. He says that in verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I believe not only he was telling the disciples that, but he was also telling his flesh the very same thing. Even though my flesh is weak, I know my spirit is willing to do the commission that the Lord has sent him to do, that God has sent him to do, that he must die on the cross of Calvary so that we could be redeemed from our sinful nature. So then he goes and he falls on his face, and he's praying and agonizing as anyone would be that knew that they were facing death. Not only death, but a very cruel death, and a very inhumane death, a very agonizing death, a very slow death. And he was praying and praying and praying. And finally, we all know that he succumbed to the Spirit and to the will of the Father. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. So then he goes back to his closest, maybe, disciples, the ones that he had put confidence in and the ones that he was hoping and very sure that they would be the very ones that would be there with him and continue to watch and to pray. And notice he's not saying pray or watch for me, not pray for me, but pray and watch with me. In other words, pray with me. As I began to look at that this week, I began to think, you know what? Had that been me, I would have wanted those disciples praying for me. I'm just being very honest with you. If God somehow let me know that my death was at hand and this would be my final time with my disciples, I wouldn't really necessarily be saying pray for yourself. I'd be saying praying for me that I will be submissive to the power of God and pray for me that I'll be able to go through with what I'm supposed to do. But Jesus didn't ask them to do that. In fact, I believe he wanted them to pray for themselves. Because here's what makes me to think that. In verse 31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So I believe that Jesus was merely asking the disciples, you need to watch and you need to pray. He didn't go into detail, but I believe he meant for you to be praying for yourselves because you're going to be facing some very treacherous and perilous times after the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? Jesus is the shepherd. And he didn't say, I am going to die, but he said the shepherd will be smitten or he shall die and the sheep are going to scatter. And you remember what happened after the death. Even Peter denied that he knew Christ. Even his closest friend and maybe one of his staunchest supporters as a disciple even turned and said, no, I do not know him. And he cursed again and said, no, I don't know him. Understanding that the flesh is weak, even though the spirit is willing, because he had said prior to that, no, Lord, I will never, ever deny you. Lets me to know we don't know what's going to happen when it comes to our flesh. So that's what Jesus was saying, pray, pray. And then he goes and he finds the church asleep. He finds the disciples asleep. There's a very symbolic meaning in a parallel hill. Now, I'm not being offensive to the church, and I include myself as a part of the church. But the church seemingly has begun to be restful because we've had it good for a while. The Lord has blessed us. You know, things have went well. I don't have to get up here and preach you current events to let you know that things aren't going too good right now. Things aren't really, in fact, things are topsy-turvy over the last several years, and we've seen things that once we took for granted and once that we probably never even thanked the Lord for now are seemingly the things that we're having a very hard time even comprehending the things that are going on. Watch and pray because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So when I was reading that, it was just like God said, wake up and pray. Wake up and pray. How many would agree with me that prayer reproduces results? Come on. How many would agree with me that God answers prayer? And the Bible encourages us to pray. And Jesus himself told his most devout followers, you need to be watching and you need to be praying. I'm going to go pray. And I'm going to go over there and pray. And, you know, I often wondered why Jesus separated himself from the disciples. And maybe it was because that Jesus wanted to pray such an intensive prayer that he didn't want anything to interfere with him or lose his focus. And how many say, no, sometimes we just need to steal away ourselves and get everything off of our mind and everything off of our shoulders and just begin to pour it out to God and pray a great, wonderful prayer to God that, Lord, we want you, amen, to bless my spirit, make my spirit strong. God, make me be able to stand the things that are coming on this earth today. But in order to do that, wake up. Jesus goes back. Watch and pray. He said, what? Can you imagine? Let's look, and I know that the Bible says the mind of Christ. He says, let this mind be in you. But his mind is so much greater and his thoughts are so much higher than you and I will ever be able to comprehend. But let's try to, if we can possibly, maybe get into the mindset of Jesus as he's praying and his sweat becoming his great drops of blood, and he's praying with every ounce of strength that he has. And it's not a 15-minute prayer. It may be an hour or two or 3 hours. I don't know. He comes back, and those that he had the confidence in, and those that was his most avid supporters, and there they are sleeping. I want to tell you something. Peter and James and John were not bad people. Well, they were not backsliders. They were not just periodically attending church, so to speak. They were his most devout followers. But you see what can happen? You see what can happen when the flesh gets weak and the flesh gets weary? And I'm sure every single one of those three said, "Yes, Lord, you know, yeah, I'll watch with you and I'll pray." But they got tired. They did probably have a watch to look at, but they knew that the time was getting on. You know, in the garden, it's probably one of those nights where the stars were shining, and they probably started bobbleheading a little bit and getting tired and sleepy. And I think, Lord, don't ever let that happen to the church. Because he sacrificed his very body. He prayed so hard in the Garden of Gethsemane. And watching and knowing that any moment they were going to come and take him away. And then he knew exactly what, nothing was surprising to Jesus. Amen. He knew everything that was going to happen. And that's, you know, he wasn't praying, "Don't let him hurt me." He wasn't praying, "Don't let him take me." He was praying, "Lord, give me the strength to endure. Lord, I know what my mission is. God, I know what I must do. Heavenly Father, I know that there must be blood atonement. I know that I am the supreme sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb of God. I know that. I'm not praying that, Lord. I'm just praying, give me strength to be able to endure and to fulfill the mission that I have." And is it too much to ask his disciples to pray and support him and watch with him? Church, we need to pray like we've never prayed before. If we're only using the time that we congregate in the house of God to pray, we're missing out. We're getting weaker. We need to pray every day of our life. I'm not telling you you got to. I'm not telling you. I'm not setting a time limit on you or anything, but I'm just saying we need to wake up and pray. We need to pray. Because you know what? I can't fix a thing that's going on in this world. Nor can you. Nor can any man. Nor can any political party. Not in any government, but we're seeing things transpire right now that was prophesied in the Word of God. But what we can do, and what we need to do, and what we must do, is spiritually wake up. I'm not talking about dozing off in church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting so comfortable in our service, in our worship service, and what we sing, and what we do, and the form that we go through. We often say that we don't have a form, but many times we do go through a form. And we need to watch, and we need to pray, and we need to wake up. And you know what? If sometimes if we get into the house of God and the only thing that we do is pray, then I think that'll be all right. Amen? Because that's how needful I think prayer is today. Not only praying every day, not only praying with your family, not praying it in the morning and night and any time that you possibly can, stealing away in a prayer closet or something and pray, but it's time for the world to wake up, and it is certainly time for the church to wake up and begin to pray. Now watch and pray. Why? That you enter not into temptation. You've got to pray against the desire of the flesh to enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Then he went away again. Prayed the second time. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of us have prayed a very powerful, in our mind, prayer, a wonderful prayer, a prayer that we just think we poured it all out, and then go back and do it again? You know, many times I say the church sometimes, are similar to the prayer of the Pharisee and the publican. Kind of happy with our prayer. That was a pretty good prayer. I did pretty good. I think I covered all the bases. After Jesus had prayed and prayed and prayed and come back and saw his disciples and woke them back up, said, "You need to be praying. You need to be watching." He goes back and he prays again. And he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again. Who knows what revival is about? You know, we talk about revival, yeah, saving souls, but sometimes revival is for the church. Revival is to get us woke up again so souls can be saved. Revival is to get us stirred up again so we can be excited about our salvation and begin to pray for others. It's so bad that people ask the church to pray, and the first thing that the church has to do is pray ourselves. Amen. Before we pray for others. Jesus comes back the second time. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. You know what? Say, you need to pray. He left them, went away again, prayed the third time, saying the same words. I don't know if you've ever prayed a prayer, and it's not the quantity, but it's the quality of prayer that you pray. Maybe it's kind of utterance. You know, sometimes the flesh doesn't know what to say, but the Spirit does. And you just pray in the Spirit. God begins to communicate, and it's like that, just you can feel that Holy Ghost power as you begin to pray. Even if it's the same prayer you just prayed, he's praying the third time and saying basically the same thing. Why? Because even Jesus' flesh was subject to temptation. He was victorious over it, as he was in the wilderness when Satan came three different times, tempting him with all of these things, and Jesus said, no, no, no. And he used the word against him. Flesh is subject to weakness. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Oh, I imagine Peter and James and John woke up then. Oh, Lord, what's going on? What do you mean somebody's coming? Why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you let us know? I think that's what Jesus is telling us now. He sees the future. We don't. He's letting us know it's at hand. We read Bible prophecy. We try to speculate when things are happening and seeing things unfold before our very eyes. But Jesus knows the end is at hand. And it's reason he said, wake up, church. Wake up and pray. That's the reason he, I believe, that he's instilled it in pastors and ministers. And you say, we might hear the same messages over and over again. Because it is very urgent that we understand that it is time to spiritually wake up and begin to pray and begin to watch and see the things that are transpiring in the world today and know that Jesus is soon coming back for a church. Amen. Let's go. Let's get up. And it's time to rise. It's what Jesus said. Church, it's time to rise. Time to get up. We're waiting on somebody else to fix things. It was not going to happen. Amen. But prayer changes things. Amen. How many believes that? Prayer changes things. Prayer, amen, unlocks the keys. Amen. Faith, then through prayer, amen, can bring miracles, can bring, I believe it can even bring changes in our life. I've seen it change, bring changes in the community and certainly in the church. We need to be a church that's on fire. We need to be a church that's awake. We need to be a church that's praying and looking for the Son of God to come home. Amen, to come and take us home. Glory to God. How many wants to be prayed up? I know he's filled us with his Spirit. Amen, but I've often said, wouldn't it be great if the catching away of the saints happened while we was in church? But what if it's while you're at work? What if it's out during the restaurant? Nothing wrong with working, nothing wrong with going to the restaurant. But are we as awake and our mind on God as much out there as we are here? We need to be. Amen. If you can't come to church, take church with you. Amen. Not just talking about the fellowship of the saints. So church tonight, wake up and pray. Wake up and pray. And then he told them, prior to that, when this is the wonderful thing. Because if you believe some of it, you got to believe it all. Okay, he told them that the shepherd would be smitten and the flock would be scattered. But then in verse number 32, somebody ought to say, thank God for verse number 32. Because he says, but after I am risen, I got news for you, church. He's alive. He's well today. He's not hanging on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's already victorious over that. Why? Because he prayed the flesh under subjection in the Garden of Gethsemane, where olives are crushed and beaten for the pure oil that flows through you. Isn't that symbolic that he chose an oil press? Which is, that's Gethsemane, that's the Hebrew. That means an oil press. I was smitten, I was beaten, I was bruised, just as Isaiah prophesied that the Son of God would be. You see, none of this is happenstance. None of it is just, you know, happened to be. It was ordained by God in the very beginning. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And he did. That's another message for another time. But my message to the church tonight, my message to those who are viewing on live stream, wake up and pray. He also told us to watch too. Amen. Not just watch to be a busybody, but watch. You know, we've often talked about defensive driving. That's what he's talking about. You watch. And seeing these things come to pass. And when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Glory to God. How many knows that God's got it under control? You believe that tonight? Give the Lord praise. My, my, my. God bless you. We love you so much tonight. I love the story of Jesus and what he did for us on Calvary. Man, but there's so much into it, so much into it. We just have scratched the surface tonight. If you would stand, give you an opportunity. If you need prayer tonight, then certainly. You know, the good thing about God, he's just as much a healer on Wednesday night as he is on Sunday. Man, he's just as real today, every day. But if you need prayer tonight for any situation, anything, then come at this time and we'll pray for you. The Bible says if any sick, call for the elders of the church and all of pray the prayer of faith. Wake up and pray. Anyone tonight, God bless you. Thank you for coming out on this Wednesday night. We appreciate each and every one of you. Hope you have a very blessed week, man, and continue to keep those who are lost. Not trying to be judgmental by any case, but probably every one of us knows someone that needs Jesus in their life. Time is so short, folks. I believe I'm not prophesying. I'm just testifying. Man, that I believe the time is. Got a loved one, if you got a friend, if you got a spouse, if you got someone you work with, please encourage them. Make sure. Amen. Because one of these days it's going to be too late. Amen. But right now, the day is the day of salvation. Brother Jim, come if you would. Dismiss us with a word of prayer. May God bless you. Love you all.
Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Oh, praise God. You know, his word is so timely. I say it many, many times, but God knows completely what we need to hear, where we are today, what's going on in every one of us. Well, this altar is open if anyone needs prayer this evening. We just want to lift up and give God all the glory and everything. Let him guide us. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, then we're going to go ahead and pray. Prayer dismissal. I want to invite you all back. Sunday morning, come to Sunday school. We'd love to have you. Praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to hear your word, dear Lord, for the freedom you've given us to gather together in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we stand here in unity, dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, Lord, we thank you for your blessings. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. But, dear Lord, for that precious blood that you shed for us, dear Lord, we just want to lift you up. Just how holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. And, dear Lord, now as we prepare to part, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, for the teens in their class, for the young people in their Bible study tonight. Lord, we thank you for these opportunities you've given us. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful day.